All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. This morning I'd like to preach a message entitled, The Mercy of God. The Mercy of God. It's not going to be some bombastic, rip-your-head-off type of message, which is actually kind of nice sometimes, right? We do need some encouragement, and I think it's good for us to stop and dwell upon the Lord and His goodness and His attributes, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. In James chapter 2, I just want to read one verse to begin with. The Bible says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." Now, that first part of the verse is quite convicting, and we'll try to get to that later. But the second part of the verse, it says, "And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." And that's going to describe a little bit more about the mercy of God. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Judgment is what we deserve. It's what's coming to us. And yet, mercy kind of just squashes all that and supersedes judgment. And so I'm all about getting some mercy. Amen? There was a prayer meeting, and some man got up, and he was praying. It was a public prayer meeting. And he says, "Lord, give us justice. Lord, we're praying for justice." And the next guy got up and prayed, "No, Lord, don't give us judgment. Give us mercy. We want mercy. If we got justice, we wouldn't like what we got." And so often we say, "Lord, it's not fair. Lord, if you really knew what was fair, you'd have a lot more problems than you do." And so let's just pray and ask God to help us as we look at this subject. Father, we ask that you would help prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive something from you. I would ask, Lord, that this would be an encouragement. It's meant to be. And I, Lord, as we go through scriptures, that you would just speak to our hearts and give each one what's needed today, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So, what do you do when you've messed up and you're in trouble and it's your fault and you're reaping what you've sown? You know, we hear a lot of messages about don't do this, don't do that, you should do this, you should, you know, these are things you should do and these are things you shouldn't do. And a lot of times you just get done after a sermon like, okay, I'm a loser again. Yeah, I failed there again. Okay, well, there I am. I can never do anything right. So what's the solution when we realize that what we've done is wrong? I mean, we've all made mistakes. There are people in here who have made some big mistakes. Some people made some mistakes recently. Maybe you've made mistakes in your studies. It's coming near the end of the semester. You're like, man, I'm just hoping I can pass. And I blew it with this assignment. I blew it with that assignment. I spent too much time doing this and not enough time doing that. It's like, oh, man, what do? You know what you could do? You could ask for mercy. You could ask for mercy. If you ask for judgment and justice, you might actually fail, right? You know, what happens when you've made bad financial decisions? Ever done that? I got both hands raised, okay? I mean, you just blown it. It's like, oh, man, I was so stupid. And you know, all you have to do is just keep living, and you have more and more reminders of how stupid we are, right? It's like, man, I messed up again. So what do you do? Let me tell you, there is hope. We can actually ask God for mercy, all right? You fell into that sin, that thing that just haunts you and keeps coming back, and you're trying to have victory. And there it is again, staring you in the face. What do? You can ask God for mercy. So I want to talk about the mercy of God, and I hope it'll be a help and encouragement, especially to those of us who really realize that we have failed many times and that we don't know the way forward sometimes. And, you know, we're going to reap, but we can ask God for some mercy along the way. So I've just got some questions we're going to ask about mercy and answer them as we go along. The first one is this. What is the mercy of God? What is the mercy of God? Well, mercy is to treat an offender better than he deserves. Okay, we have offended God. We have broken His commandments. We've disappointed Him. We failed Him repeatedly. It could be that way with your parents, right? Some of you, you may have failed your parents miserably, and you get those constant reminders, yes, I'm an idiot. Yes, I'm a loser. Yes. It's a constant, I keep messing up, and my parents keep correcting me. Well, they don't want to have to keep correcting you, right? But mercy is to treat an offender better than he deserves. The definition continues. It implies tenderness, mildness, and pity toward one who does not deserve it. Now, on the flip side of things, we don't normally like to dish out too much mercy. Because if someone's offended us, they deserve whatever they got coming, right? And we want to give it to them. Well, what was that first part of the verse we just read? He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. Oh. So maybe I ought to be a little more merciful myself if I ever expect to get some. Again, that's a point a little ahead in the sermon. But David, I want you to turn back. We're going to look at a lot of Bible verses. So please, if you would, turn with me. 2 Samuel 24. It'll help you stay awake. But I really do believe it. It's good to see these things in the Bible. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David had sinned by numbering the people. And in verses 10 through 13, we see that God gave him three choices of the judgment he was going to get. In verse 10, it says, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord," by the way, wasn't that good that at least it smote, his heart smote him? He felt guilty about it, and he was contrite about it. And we would do well to actually feel not just sad that we got caught for doing something wrong, but actually dirty and disappointed that we would fail the Lord. And it says, "And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." He didn't make any excuses, didn't blame anybody else, didn't say the devil made me do it. He said, "I did very foolishly." Verse 11, "For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come in unto thee in the land, in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return unto him that sent me." So here's the three choices. Now, in verse 14, we see David's decision, and David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait." Why? Because he was going to reap what he had sown. "Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are" what? "Are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man." So he made the choice that he was going to let God be the judge. And he looked to God. Oh, he knew he was going to be judged, but he looked for mercy from the Lord. He knew God's mercies were great. And in verse 15 and 16, we see that God did show mercy. "So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even until the time appointed," and that was the reaping, "and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. That's a lot of reaping. But in verse 16, we see God's mercy step in. "And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough." I love those words. It is enough. Lord, can you say that to me? It's enough. I messed up. I deserve it. But I'm just going to fall upon your mercy, and I'm going to wait for you to say, it is enough. And take what he gives us. It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And so here we see David pleading for the mercy of God. Did he deserve judgment? Yes. Did he get judgment? Yes. But was he treated better than he deserved? Yes, he was, by definition. Was there tenderness and mildness and pity showed toward David and toward the city of Jerusalem? Yes, there was. And so God is a merciful God. And don't forget that in your time of reaping, that we can come to God. And when we're guilty and deserve judgment, the best thing we can do is do as David did, acknowledge our sin, repent, and then ask for mercy. And along with the reaping, we'll also find some relief, thankfully. So the next question is this. Who can receive the mercy of God? Well, let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Go back to Genesis chapter number 32. Who can receive the mercy of God? In Genesis 32, verse number 10, here we see Jacob. He's in trouble. He is reaping from his wrong decisions years ago. Esau's coming after him. He's scared to death. He's thinking he's going to die. You ever mess up and then it just kind of haunts you for a long time? And payday comes a lot later because you never dealt with it. Well, that's what was happening here with Jacob. And so he comes to the Lord, and he's talking to the Lord in verse number 10. He said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He said, I am not worthy of the least of your mercies. So do you know who, first of all, who can receive God's mercy? Those people who aren't worthy of it. So I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve another chance. Well, if you come to that place in your life, guess what? You're a prime candidate to have mercy. So amen for that. And this is really humbling because it makes us look at who we are, but not only that, it gives us some hope that God can actually help us and get us through these things, because we're all going to fail. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. We see another one. Isaiah 49. So we see that God, who can receive mercy? People who are not worthy to get it. That makes me a prime candidate. And I like mercy, so I think I'll just keep asking for it. In verse number 13 of chapter 49, we see Israel. Of course, Israel had been wayward. And now it says in verse 13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Now, why were they afflicted? Because they had been disobedient. So you say, is there any hope for me? I've been disobedient. I've been chastened. I've been afflicted. I'm having problems. That's a great type of person that God likes to give his mercy to. And so here God is telling them, hey, sing. You can be joyful, he says. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful. Why? The Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. He wants to bring comfort and joy to us, and it's available to those people who are afflicted. Now, go with me to Psalm 145. Go back to Psalm 145. I think it's good for us to do a little Bible study from time to time. And I love doing this on a subject like this, one of these attributes of the Lord. All it does is just lift him up and show us who he is and gives us hope. In Psalm 145, verse number 9, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So you know who can have mercy? Everybody. It's available to everybody, all of his works. And so you don't have to ever worry about whether or not you can get mercy. If you've messed up, you've failed the Lord, you've sinned, you've gone the wrong way, is there hope? Yes, because mercy is available to all of us. And don't let anyone tell you that there's no hope. Don't let the devil discourage you and say, listen, you've messed up so much, it's just there's no more hope. You can't fix it. You can't straighten out your name and your testimony. Listen, the worst person in here, if they humbled themselves and got right with God, do you think everybody else would be looking down on them for that? No, they'd be rejoicing. They'd be excited that someone actually, hey, I got on the straight and narrow, and they'll be all behind you, and they're going to do all they can to help you overcome the past and forget the past, because God makes things new. It's the mercy of God. So let's look at a third question. How do we get the mercy of God? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter number 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Proverbs is the next one. Psalm 25. How do we get the mercy of God? Well, I've already kind of hinted about it. You ask for it. We'll see here in verse number 6. We'll start there in verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord. This is a prayer. He's talking to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Lord, you've had these loving kindnesses. You've had these tender mercies for a long time. So why don't you remember them when you're thinking about me? Just ask him. What does that do when you're asking God to remember his goodness and his promises toward you? It's honoring him. And when you honor him, he kind of likes that. Yeah, he really does. Try showing some respect and honor to an authority. They might actually like it. And they might actually treat you better because of it, right? So, oh, they like me. They appreciate me. Oh, great, here. Here's $50, right? No. So how do we get it? We ask God to remember. Let's go down to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Here's another one. Proverbs 21, we find here in verse number 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. So he says, if we're following after righteousness, as we want to do what's right, and we're following after righteousness, that means we're seeking after mercy. We're seeking mercy. What will we get? We'll get it. We'll find it. So if I'm looking for it, I'll find it. And not only will I get that, he says, he findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Wait a minute. I don't deserve any honor. I don't deserve to have renewed life. I don't deserve all of these things. But if I'm seeking after mercy, God restores life to me. He gives me righteousness. And on top of that, like a bonus, a cherry on the top, he gives me honor. I'm dishonorable because of my actions, because of my ways, and because of my waywardness. And yet, because I seek mercy, he says, you got my approval. And I'm going to treat you better than you deserve. Anybody here need that? Anybody here need to be treated better than they deserve? Oh, seek after mercy and you'll find it. Now, let's go to Isaiah. He said we were already there. Yeah, we're going back. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. This is an important one. We'll begin in verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have what? Mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So, if I want to be right with God, if I want to receive his mercy, I've got to forsake some things. I've got to turn my back on my sin. To get mercy implies that you know you deserve judgment. It means that you've acknowledged that you've sinned. Mercy means that you've humbled yourself. And if you haven't confessed your sin and admitted your sin and hated your sin and asked God to forgive you of your sin, don't expect mercy. You've got to be willing to turn your back on that. And when we do, then God's willing to overwhelm us with floods of mercy. Now, let's run over the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. So do you want to get mercy? Well, you can. It's pretty simple. All we got to do is ask God to remember his mercy. We have to follow after it, and if we do, he'll give us that mercy and so much more. He'll give us that righteousness, the life, and the honor. We need to forsake our sin if we want it. And in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." If you want to get mercy, you've got to be merciful. If you're cold and calculated and just cutting people off all the time, then don't expect much better treatment from the Lord. Now, that verse I read earlier is quite convicting in James chapter number 2. It goes along right with this. It says, "For he shall have mercy, he shall have judgment without mercy." I don't know about you, but I want judgment with mercy. But I will get judgment without mercy if I have shown no mercy. I know there's just a couple of us parents in here, but that's a good verse to remember as parents, to be merciful, to treat our kids better than they deserve, which is always, right? Be merciful. If you want to get mercy, you've got to be merciful. Now think with me in the Gospels. How many times people cried out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on me." Many times, right? How many times did he refuse? None. Absolutely every one of them that said, "Lord, have mercy." I was thinking even this. You look at the 10 lepers. The one came back and said, "Thank you." But the 10 lepers were crying, "Have mercy upon us." And he did. And he even knew that 9 of them weren't going to come back and give thanks. And yet he was still merciful. Wow. The Lord is willing to show mercy. Now, Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. So how do we get mercy? How do we get mercy? We ask God to remember. We follow after mercy. We forsake sin. We become merciful ourselves. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We come boldly. That word boldly means with confidence. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. But I can come with confidence, and this is where the devil gets us sometimes. He gets us discouraged. He gets us defeated because he gets us looking at our sin and how guilty we are, and we sit there, "I'm a loser. I can't do anything right. God's not going to forgive me all the time," and it's just whatever. "Everyone's given up on me. They put a big black X over my name. They've written me off. I'm a nobody. I've ruined my whole life. Pfft. Woe is me," right? Eeyore. But here this verse tells us we can come boldly. That word boldly means with confidence. I can come with confidence, not because I have any right to my own, but I can come with confidence and I can tell the devil, "Listen," I can tell my weak, corrupted flesh, "Listen, I don't deserve it, but God said he's given it to me. I'm going to come and get it." Let's just come with confidence and expect God would do it. Even the guilty, corrupt, thieving publican got mercy when he asked for it. He beat on his chest and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's all God wants. Just admit what we are and ask for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting on the highway side begging. And what's he saying? "Lord, have mercy." And the Bible says Jesus stood still. That got his attention. You want to get God's attention? Come and say, "Lord, have mercy." Now, of all people, we don't deserve it. But yet, it gets his attention. He likes it. So let's work it. So we've seen what mercy is. We've seen how to receive the mercy of God. We've seen who can receive the mercy of God. We've seen how we get the mercy of God. Go with me back now to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Here's another question. How much mercy does God have? I mean, can you use it up? Man, I kept going back and I kept going back and I kept going back. I'm like the chief of sinners. Well, that means you got Paul beat. I don't think anyone here has got Paul beat yet, so don't worry. Don't think your case is too bad. All right? But we see in Psalm 103, verse number 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." He's plenteous. That means he's got plenty of it. It means I can go and get some. You can go and get some. We can all go back again tomorrow and get some more. And you're never going to bankrupt the account, God's bank account of mercy. It's just, he's there. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "God who is rich in mercy." Now, when I think of someone who's rich, that means they got more than enough. And if someone was rich, then I think that they got some to spare for me, right? And God is rich. He's rich in mercy. And he's got more than enough to give out. And you can go and get some, and you can go back and get some more, and you can go back and get some more, and he's not any less rich. So how much does he have? He's got plenty. Then another question would be, how long does the mercy of God last? Well, we're in Psalm 100, verse number 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." His mercy is everlasting. Back to Psalm 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Psalm 107, verse number 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It's not going to stop. It's never going to end. It's always available. Always. He's got so much of it. It's always available. You ever go to the bank and it's like, "Oh, I just missed it. I needed money and I missed it." Then you go to the ATM and you try to get money out and there's no money in there. That happened to me more than one occasion in Africa. It's like, no money, or it doesn't work. Oh, great. What am I going to do now? Psalm 136, you don't have to turn there, but all 26 verses, you know what it says? "His mercy endureth forever." I think he wanted to get the point across. Now, why does God give mercy? Turn with me now to Psalm 6. It's a lot of these verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm 6. Psalm 6. Verse number 4, I like this. It says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O, save me for" what? "For thy mercy's sake." Very similar, Psalm 31, verse number 16. Now he's saying, he said, save me for thy mercy's sake. Look, find in verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Well, wouldn't you like to have God smile again? God's light shining on you again, flooding into your soul again? You can. He says, save me for thy mercy's sake. And not to beat a dead horse, but look at over in 44, verse number 26. Psalm 44, verse 26. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. See, what's the big deal? Okay, I get it. For thy mercy's sake. You know what the big deal is? The question is, why does God give mercy? Because it's part of his character. It's because that's who he is. He's just plain flat out merciful. And that's what he does. He gives out mercy. And so you can pray, Lord, for absolutely no other reason, can you give me mercy? Because it's part of your nature. I don't deserve it, but I've read in the Bible that you are merciful, and just for your mercy's sake, not for me, not for anything else, just to show how great you are, would you show your mercy to me? And so that's why God gives mercy, because it's part of his character, it's part of his nature. The seventh question is, what does the mercy of God do for us? Well, for sake of time, we're in Psalm, look at Psalm 94, Psalm 94, and these other ones, you can just jot them down if you want to look later, you can. Psalm 94, verse number 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You know what God's mercy does for us? When you're starting to slip and slide into sin, you ask for mercy, and God will hold you up and keep you from slipping and sliding into that sin. Ask for mercy. And not only that, but in Proverbs 16, verse number 6, you don't have to turn, let me just read that to you. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So mercy forgives, and in mercy will hold us up and keep us from going into sin. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it talks about that the God of mercies will comfort us. Will we reap? Yes. But will he give us comfort? Yes. Amen for his mercy. And in Psalm 130, verse number 7, the Bible says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. You know what I like about that? It says, let Israel hope in the Lord. Why? Because with the Lord, there's mercy. Have you messed up? What will the mercy of God do for you? Oh yeah, it'll forgive you. It'll keep you from, hold you up when you're ready to fall into sin. But it'll also comfort you, and it will give you hope. So I don't feel very hopeful. Well, then you need some mercy. Say, Lord, I need you to fix this because I can't. I'm going to cast myself upon your mercy. And then you're going to see the everlasting arms underneath you, girding you up, holding you, and preventing you when your feet start slipping and you're crying out, Lord, for mercy, he's going to hold you up and you're going to be able to stand for him. Last one is this. What should we do because of his mercy? Psalm 136, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Have you experienced God's mercy? If so, why don't you give him thanks? When's the last time you thank God for that mercy he's given to you? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And Colossians 3:12, God tells us to put on bowels of mercy. He's not going to do any less than what he expects of us. Jesus came to save and help us. He didn't come to destroy us. And I think it would be good for us to think on his mercy, ask him for his mercy, and especially this morning, maybe thank him for his mercy. Father, I pray you'd bless in the invitation time, work in hearts. And I pray that it was encouraging and helpful. And Lord, give hope to some who have been just struggling. And we ask that you be glorified through what will be accomplished. We pray in Christ's name. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Music begins to play.